Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Rick O'Shea, presenter of The Book Show on Radio 1, and Louisa Cameron, owner of Raven Books in Blackrock, are here for part one of their Christmas recommendations. And today we're looking at fiction. Next week it will be non-fiction. So, Rick, I'm going to start with you because you have a very strong home bias in your choices, and a lot of the best of the Irish books are here on this list, starting with Naoise Dolan.
They are, and that's with me leaving out all of the really prominent ones like Donal Ryan and Kevin Barry and Liz Nugent, who've all had great books this year. Naoise Dolan's exciting Times was my debut of 2020. Naoise Dolan is a young Irish writer. This book is fresh and exciting, and it's bloody well written as well. It's about Eva. Eva is an Irish woman who goes to live in Hong Kong, ostensibly to kind of try and make a break from her life and to escape her life in rural Ireland. She ends up doing something else. She meets Julian. Julian is an expat banker who lives in a very posh apartment in Hong Kong and has an awful lot of money. And he and Eva develop what is kind of a relationship of sorts, although it's a very strange, unusual, almost antiseptic relationship. Julian goes away for a while. Eva is living in his apartment. She meets Edith. Edith is a Hong Kong banker. And then they start a relationship with each other. So it's kind of a love triangle story. It's. I'm not giving it enough credit to reference it as that. It's been hoovering up awards nominations throughout the course of the year, and rightly so. And it's a cracking read if you're looking for something just to keep you occupied over Christmas.
Exciting times.
Yep, exciting times.
That's going on the list. We're going to put these all of these books on our social media and on the website as well, because I know sometimes you get to the end, you're like, what was that book again? And I'm putting together my Christmas list here, Rick, I'll have you know. And Louisa too, you're kicking off with a book called Beach Read. Is it a beach read?
It is a beach read, and I realise that it may seem a bit strange to recommend a summer rom-com at the beginning of December.
It's okay.
But this is the perfect escapist reading from the stress of the season and these long, dark evenings. You can take yourself away to a beautiful lakeshore house and lose yourself in the escapades of the two protagonists, January Andrews and August Everett, who are definitely not going to fall in love. She is a best-selling romance writer. He writes very serious literary fiction. They are both suffering from writer's block, and they're both broke. They end up unlikely neighbours for the summer. One thing leads to another, and they strike a deal to do a sort of a Freaky Friday swap. She is going to write the great American novel, and he is going to write something happy without killing off all the characters at the end. Needless to say, drama ensues. We have been handing this book out to customers for anybody looking for an uplifting read. We've had book clubs do it that just want a fun discussion. It is the perfect tonic to the news and having laugh. Remember laughing? It feels like nobody does that anymore. This definitely should be prescribed by any good book doctor to improve mental health at the moment.
Is there a shift in what people are looking for when they come into you?
There definitely is. There's an awful lot of people reading nonfiction at the moment, and I think some people are struggling to find the necessary levity for escaping into fiction. And something like this, which isn't too taxing and isn't too, you don't feel too emotionally engaged, I think is actually very good, just as something to keep the habit going, to be turning pages, to just let yourself get away into somewhere different for a little while.
I think it's the key to having a break from this world that we're living in, something like this.
I'm now looking at my list and realising my next two are going to tax you and emotionally engage you, which is awful.
Look, it's not awful at all. It's great. All comers are welcome, including Strange Hotel.
Yeah, Emer McBride's book. I've no idea why this book wasn't more prominent in lists throughout the course of the year and why it wasn't getting nominations the way it should. Emer McBride, of course, is the author most famously of A Girl is a Half-Formed Thing. This book is hypnotic. It is the story sort of an author who may or may not be the author, so there's a bit of autofiction about it, and about her travelling from hotel to hotel to hotel to hotel around the world. It's about her experiences in those hotel rooms, sometimes just the hotel rooms themselves. There isn't a single line of dialogue in the book. There's no dialogue between her and anybody else. It's only 148 pages long, but it feels like she crams all of the beauty and character and the most incredible insights of a 600-page book into something that's just only 148 pages long. Again, I think maybe for people who are finding it that they'll want something just a little short and something that's going to tide them over, that this might be the one for them. I think it's beautiful.
And it may or may not be the author, you say.
It is an author who is travelling around the world and staying in hotel rooms. I'm sure there's a lot of personal experience comes from
And you're going to Korea next with your next book.
Yeah, this is lovely. I wanted to include something in translation this year as well. And this was the first million-selling homegrown novel in Korea in over a decade. The author is Cho Nam-ju. It's called Kim Ji-young, born 1982. It is ultimately a novel about everyday sexism in modern Korea. It is about one woman growing up, getting married, having kids, suffering from depression, and about the nature of how Korean society around her deals with that all the way through from her birth in 1982, right the way up through to pretty much the modern day. It's been one of those novels that's been a sensation. There was a movie made of it in Korea pretty much immediately. The Korean president was talking about it. But again, it's a gorgeous, relatively slim, very beautifully written work.
Have you read that?
This.
Yeah.
I've read everything on my list. How dare you?
Is it a good read?
I think it's an extraordinary read. I came out of it understanding things about another society that I never would have. And I came out of it with a real sense of who that character was and ultimately feeling for her.
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds great. Give us the title of that one again.
It's called Kim Ji-young, born 1982.
And Louisa, we're going to Philippa Gregory, hugely popular author, next.
She is. She's best known probably for her Tudor novels, but this is a slightly different period. It's a rich, evocative historical novel called Dark Tides. It's set in the latter half of the 1600s. It opens in the grimy docklands of Restoration London, travels to the sumptuous decadence of Venice, then across the ocean, the wild frontiers of New England. It follows the lives of the Tidelands family, who readers first met in the titular Tidelands. It is helpful, but it's not necessary to read that one first. There is a titled gentleman who lost everything fighting for his king. He has been restored to wealth and status, and it has to be said, quite a sense of entitlement. There's the woman he abandoned 21 years ago and the child he never met. There is the Italian lady claiming to be the mother-in-law of a drowned son. And at the heart of it is Eleanor, who confides all to her brother, everything that's going on. And he is trying to make a life for himself in the New World as war brews between English settlers and American Indians. So there is a lot going on here. This is not a quiet drawing room drama with cups of tea and corsets. Gregory's clearly done her research on these very different places and manages to marry them all very believably, I would say, through the fortunes and indeed the misfortunes of this one single family. I find it really interesting to have these three very different places at the same period. Very often historical dramas will tend to focus maybe just on one particular place. So it is good for anybody who maybe wants, likes history, but doesn't have perhaps the concentration to sit down and read an actual history book.
Okay, so that's Dark Tides by Philippa Gregory. And your next one is a murder mystery set in Japan, Louisa.
Yes, indeed. Largely thanks to, I would say, Richard Osman and Anthony Horowitz, there's a revival of kind of cozy crime at the moment, including a renewed interest in Agatha Christie. This mystery, the Decagon House Murders, is an homage of sorts to Christie's And Then There Were None. And in fact, she is directly referenced by some of the characters. It's a little bit meta. It tells a story of seven university students who fancy themselves as amateur sleuths. And they travel to a deserted island, of course, recently the scene of a grisly murder. Before long, the first student shows up dead, unsurprisingly, and the rest of the group then try to use their sleuthing skills to figure out who the murderer is and if he or she is one of their own. The writing is very dialogue heavy, so the pace rips right along, very unlike Strange Hotel in that sense. And the reader is kind of trying to figure out with the characters who the murderer might be. This actually was printed in Japan in 1987. Oh. And this is its second English language edition. I know, it's just out this week by Pushkin Press. So clearly it has legs, and I wouldn't be surprised if this was a huge hit over here as well now.
Okay. Back home then, Rick, with Helen Cullen. Her second novel is your next choice.
Yeah, it's her second. She is formerly of this parish. It is a story of a woman who leaves her house on a remote island off the west of Ireland on Christmas Eve, and her family are searching for her. That's the very beginning of the story. That's where it opens. The story then flips back 40 years and is about that woman whose name is Maeve. She's American. She's just coming to Ireland for the first time. She's going to be going to college here. And the man that she meets, Murta, who eventually becomes her husband, and they eventually spend their life together. So there is a huge part of this story that is about their love story, about them meeting each other, about the Ireland of the time, about the Ireland of the kind of late 1970s, early 1980s, and them making their lives together. It then becomes something different as it moves on and becomes about Maeve's life and her battle with mental health throughout the course of her life and her story. It's immensely compassionate. It is very, very beautifully written story of two people. It's very smart about Maeve's mental health and about how her story is told. And I will be talking to Helen Cullen about the changing portrayal of the Irish mother, of which Maeve is one, in literature in the book show this coming Sunday at 7 on RTE Radio 1.
Fantastic. The truth must dazzle gradually. And what about a good thriller, Louisa?
Let's see, where are we going next? We are going to LA. We are going to The System by Ryan Gatiss. It's just out, officially out December 10th, in fact. This is a novel that is perfect for fans of The Wire, and though the novel does go further, as I said, set in Los Angeles, it's in 1993. The story starts from before the first bullet leaves the gun, before the first drug dealer dies. There's both innocent and guilty who are arrested. It ends after the entire messed up American justice system has been navigated. It unfolds from multiple perspectives. Gatiss always makes it obvious who is talking, which is really helpful because there are a lot of characters. Mm-hmm. It makes it clear how complex the system is and how different parties define what justice is. This is not a stuffy courtroom drama at all. The language rings very true for the streets of LA, in as much as I'm aware of it, certainly. In fact, there is a comprehensive glossary at the back for language, both of the street, the law enforcement, of the legal jargon, which is helpful reference. It's not necessary. It's not like it's homework.
Yeah. But you might need to check occasionally.
Exactly, yes. And he's a writing mentor in prisons, so he knows his subject really, really well.
Oh,
but
interesting.
It doesn't feel preachy. There's no moralizing, or it's not judgmental. It's a riveting thriller. And in fact, it's been recommended by Michael Connelly. So that's the highest praise, certainly.
Okay, and fans of Michael Connelly will no doubt be taking that on board. That's The System by Ryan Gatiss. Now, Rick, the book club, your book club on Facebook, I know you have an annual appeal. How's it going?
It's great, and this is our third year of doing it. We're about €3,000 short of raising €100,000 over the space of the last 3 years. Our benefiting charities this year are the DSPCA, the Peter McVerry Trust, and Samaritans Ireland. About 13 grand, 12 to 13 grand over the last 2 weeks, which is great, and we're keeping it open on until December 31st.
Fantastic.
If people wanted to find it, they can go to bit.ly, one of those ones, /Rick O'Shea.
Okay, you'll be back with the non-fiction list. That's coming up next week, isn't
it? We will.
Great. Okay, look forward to it. Thank you, Rick, and thank you, Louisa.